If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
You hear the music, and he is here. Brandon Scott from Hiram Clark joining us in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. First time in a couple of weeks and the first time in like 3 weeks that I've gotten a chance to do this with you, so I'm excited to get your thoughts. Unfortunately, I have a feeling that the subject matter is not going to make me particularly happy, but I know that you're going to give us some great thoughts on this. So what you got?
I was happy about the journey. Like, I really enjoyed the ride.
Oh, brother.
I thought this was a great
season. It's a great season, guys. Great season, guys.
We're not here to lie.
Let's meet them.
Let's meet them at the bus. Think about it, though. The fact that I had local interest in the national championship game, like that is significant and matters and means something. But boy, was this a collapse and a choke job of epic proportions, man. Ooh. Like this.
Okay, so you're redeeming yourself.
No, this was really, really, really bad. I mean, to be up by 12, and especially like on the backdrop of the way you just won the last game, like you're supposed to be the team that does that to the other team, not the one that collapses at the end. And Lopez, both of y'all, I thought y'all did a really good job to start the show breaking down sort of how this collapse started, and to me it starts like the way the game changes is the beginning of the second half when Florida starts to muck up the game. You get all
they
those,
start punching back,
yeah, and then you get all those fouls in the first few minutes of the second half, and then you get the fouls on Florida, and then you get Houston's like three fouls in 9 seconds, and what all of that did, the combination Florida fouls, Houston fouls, just the game losing its flow, to me it took U of H out of its rhythm, which obviously you're coming out of halftime, and then they were kind of felt like they were establishing a bit of a rhythm to start the second half, but then you start getting all those fouls, takes them out of their rhythm, changes the momentum. I think momentum is the wrong word, but you understand what I mean, of the game, right?
Like, I appreciate you referencing like that.
I think momentum is just something that we're trying to find a word that we don't exactly have, so we just use a different one, but it changes, it swings the game right into Florida's favor, and that's how it changes. But then once you get all the way down to those last couple of possessions, I don't see how it happens that way, man. Like, I thought you did a good job talking about how they should have gotten into their action earlier.
Yeah.
But, man, even once they did, it shocked me to see Milos Juzan pick up his dribble in that moment, which I could excuse since he did pass the ball to LJ Cryer, who I probably wanted to have the ball anyway. But then I was surprised to see him not take a dribble at all and then immediately swing the ball to Emmanuel Sharp, who is their third best perimeter shot creator out of their options. And we had just seen him in the previous possession get the ball stripped and knocked off of his leg. This is not a shot at him. This is just me saying I didn't want him to necessarily be in that position. I don't mind him taking that shot, but I do mind the opportunity passed up by Milos Juzan and by LJ Cryer, who I much prefer have the ball in their hands in that situation. So that watching that part of the last sequence surprised me quite a bit.
Let me ask you both this, because I mentioned it earlier in that segment that you're talking about to start the show. I wondered if they never quite got over the nerves. And that's probably unfair. They're a tough team. We know what they are, right? But do you think they were pressing a lot in the second half? And I keep going back to they pressing is a better way to put it than nerves. Like, they wanted it so bad, and they were out of character.
Yeah, but I think part of it had to do with the moment, but also, like, the fact that they were missing shots early,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they were able to overcome. That's the thing, too, though, Lopez. Even with that, they were able to overcome all of it mm-hmm. and had that moment still at the end. And like, even what I'm talking about, them mm-hmm. mucking up the game to start the second half, them pressing, them not being able to hit a three to save their lives mm-hmm. in the first half, like 2 of 14 from three in the first half. And I remember making a point of this at halftime thinking, man, mm-hmm. you know, you don't have to shoot lights out from three. I don't think we've ever expected U of H to be that type of team, even with the offensive players that they have now.
Mm-hmm.
But if you could go like 4 of 14, 5 of 14, like, you know what I mean? Like, that's the difference.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, no, they had moment after moment to either seize the game or take it back, and they just did not.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time, it's subject to change. Max one offer per account.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, they had a pretty solid, like, 3-minute dry spell, like, earlier in that second half, and it just felt like lost time.
Yeah.
Like, it just felt like wasted time, which typically you don't see from a Cougs team, or at least even if there's a little bit of a dry spell, it's like we all dry together.
Yeah.
Right? We are just going to make this game to where there's nothing that happens. And Florida was able to kind of get a run in that time period, which just feels entirely antithetical to what they typically do. I don't even know where to go from there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I think you could with Florida just make the point that Lopez has made, and I because I want to do this too since I focus so much on U of H.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Florida is a worthy champion.
Yeah,
right. Like, they went and took this game. Like, they changed
what they were.
Like, I even thought as it was happening, like, I don't know if they want to mix it up with U of H like that. Like, we got some scrappy dudes. Like, yeah. that's kind of playing into their hands. And I thought about that kind of just like from a philosophical standpoint. Do you want to allow the other team to take you out of your game, or do you have to, like in the championships atmosphere, have to acknowledge what a team is and say, hey, I have to fight the fire with fire and meet the moment. Like, right. Like, maybe I have to be able to get out of my comfort zone and play a little different from how I normally do. And I got to give the Gators a lot of credit for doing that.
It was a classic example. You guys have both hooped. You guys have both heard this. What do you do against a pressing team? You press them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What do you do against a trapping team? You trap them. What do you do against a real physical team that wants to beat you up? You get real physical and beat them up. And that's what the Cougs did.
Yeah.
I mean, the Gators.
Yeah, definitely fought fire with fire. So, I mean, hats off to them. But like I said earlier, man, it did feel like, oh, not again.
Mm-hmm.
Not again. You know?
That's what I can't get over.
Especially because I did. Like, it's different. Like, this is even different from that Texans example that I had from the Texans Chiefs from several years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Because even that didn't. Don't know if I ever felt like they were going to win that game.
That was a slow burn.
You know what I mean? I've never felt like they were going to win that game. The Astros example, I was sure.
Right.
You know, in this game, once they're up 12, you know, I'm like, man, they've got this. Mm-hmm. They're going to win this game. And then they didn't.
Yeah.
They absolutely didn't.
They really and truly did not. I was flabbergasted. I'll use that word. I'll use it again. I stood there just looking.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just dead into the ether. And I had no feeling about it being in that place. From the 713, can we talk about next year's team? And yeah, we absolutely can if that's where you want
to
go.
Nobody wants to do that.
But, and we will. But like in this moment, I like that's one of the things that's kind of crazy about this is that it feels like the best chance that you had, and you've been in this place again. Like, it's instructive, the 83 season. You did make it back to the national championship that next year, yeah. And then you went into the wilderness as an organization. And so, not saying that you can't make it back, but I do wonder, did you just squander what was your best chance at getting it done and getting this program over the hill into that championship place?
And even if you win at some point, it's a squandered opportunity. Mm-hmm. That's just one more that you could have had.
Right.
You know, and this is at that point you're talking about being greedy, but it is a missed opportunity flat out. Like, no way around it. As far as like looking forward to next year, the one thing about college sports, especially college basketball, but college sports in general, it's not like the pros where you feel like you have a decent sense for what teams might look like the next year.
Yeah.
Like, it's the day after the championship is not the best day to feel like you know what the whole line, you don't know what your team is going to look like. You don't know what the other teams are going to look like.
It's so flighty in this era.
Yeah, no, that part is hard to predict. What you can feel good about is like some of that cheesy stuff that I was talking about earlier, the journey. A lot of that is based on the culture and what they have sort of established here.
Mm-hmm.
And you feel like it's going to be competitive from here on out. Are they going to be the championship?
Oh, no, that is true. You know absolutely what I mean? Absolutely, 100%.
You can expect to watch competitive Houston Cougars basketball for as long as the Sampson family is involved in it, I think.
How many more years is Kelvin Sampson going to coach?
Yeah, man, I mean, he's 69.
And so, one of the things that's wild is that, and I know that there was I saw this in a way where he was kind of being asked about it, but I don't think you rarely see Kelvin Sampson go and like kind of reflect on his time. I've seen some of those kind of reflections on his time and his, 35 years of coaching or what have you. And not saying that inherently indicates that he is ready to give it up. But we do know that he has negotiated into his contract that his son is his successor.
Which
right?
is great, and it's the way it should be, but we don't know what he's going to be.
No, but my point was more just, there's eyes on the end at some point. We may not know exactly when that is, but that kind of does make me wonder, when does that turnover happen, and could it happen sooner rather than later?
Yeah. Well, and to the point, I also wonder, because I don't know them. We obviously have interacted with them some, but don't know them well and don't know exactly what the personal dynamic is. But I wonder, does that increase the urgency at all? Like, are you trying to hand that down to your son? Like, how soon do you want your son to be the coach? Does that matter? Is that really
is this a good time?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I mean, what is a good time?
Yeah.
I honestly don't know. Like, they obviously did that for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
But is that like, and the son, like
Kellen,
how long does Kellen kind of sit there and say, oh, hey, dad, you know, at some point I'd like to take this.
I don't think he cares. About
Yo, I don't think he's nudging his dad out, but I do wonder if what
I like
is,
this, I like ready. That episode of Succession that you've created in my
I'm
mind.
Ready,
now.
I'm ready.
This could be Succession. This could be Righteous Gemstones, where they love each other.
Oh, please don't let it be like Righteous Gemstones.
Oh, I don't think it's like it's definitely not like Righteous
that
Gemstones.
Would be,
that's for sure not the case. But I do wonder, what is that like? Like, what is the push and pull, the tug and pull there of the future for the Sampson family? And I feel good about it. Like, just to be clear, I feel good about it, but it is like going back to the conversation about opportunity cost and the moment and him being 69 years old and finally getting here and getting this opportunity and this chance and being that close for leading the game. We talked about this in the break, Reggie. They led for no less than 38 minutes. What do we calculate?
It was a minute.
A minute and 3 seconds is how much of this game that Florida led
by the eventual natural champion.
And
a minute.
It only mattered because they led at the end when the clock was at zero.
Yeah, that's
tough to swallow.
Incredibly tough to swallow, especially for a team that had not lost in recent memory and had done such a good job of closing out games and, you know, finishing out situations that were necessary, including a few times in this very tournament. Very rough to see. B. Scott, appreciate those thoughts, even if I don't appreciate what happened last night. I think we're all in that place. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get into what's popping, including, hey, you want me to make you feel worse? I got something for you. There's an Astros pitcher that's going on the IL. We'll talk about it next.